others, and I just help them when I'm there just to keep the thing going. And I was just thinking, seeing the little baby there, a brother Cunley, he's got three children and he had a son called Emmanuel. We were asked to do the dedication for Emmanuel. I got the shock of my lives when I found out what all the rest of his names were. And there were about seven or eight of them, and I couldn't even pronounce them. I needed interpretation of tongues to even try and pronounce them. And I felt so embarrassed because they were not names that I was used to. But anyway, it's lovely to see an international flavour. We got Nigerians, we got South Africans. What else have we got? Pardon? Zimbabwean, yeah, here. And back at home, we got South Africans. They speak a bit funny, South Africans. But maybe they think that I speak funny as well. And so just, and we've had, someone from Croatia, was it? Or one of those places comes now and again. Different nationalities. Kosovo, I'm not sure. I lose track. But it's wonderful, isn't it? Just to. The body of Christ is international. It's not related to one particular group or one particular class of people, even. That's what I love about it. We're not a middle-class elite group or something like that. It covers everybody. Amen. Well, let's just pray together, and then, Father, we thank you for your presence here with us today. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace, O God. Thank you for the word of God, Lord, which lives and abides forever. We pray that you speak to us through your word this morning. And I pray, Father, that I'll be able to just disseminate some breadcrumbs that'll feed somebody here today and help somebody today, Lord. We want to help each other to grow in you and to fulfill our calling and our destiny in Christ Jesus. So bless us, we pray, and anoint your word to our hearts in Jesus' name. Hide the speaker. May we just see the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Ask it in his name. Amen. Do we have a finishing time, roughly? All right, okay. Well, it is. Very dangerous. And if you do it in India or Africa, you go on forevermore. I mean, it's incredible. They just don't want you to stop. Anyway. I love that song, Come Let Us, about the worship song. I couldn't work out whether now is the time to worship, whether there were actually birds outside or whether there were birds on the recording, but I think there were birds on the recording. And it reminded me of Song of Solomon, the time of the singing of the birds has come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. And then it speaks about, come my fair one, my love, rise and come away. And even the birds, little birds, can teach us lessons, amen? Little tiny things. Now, I've got a message this morning. If you have a Bible, I'm going to just have a couple of readings. And the message I can give it a title, is called The Power of Little Things. Sometimes we think that God only works in mega churches or where there are lots of people. I'm coming to see that many mega churches have far more problems than small churches. And a lot of this is coming out, you know. And for God to bless something, if it gets big too quickly, I often ask myself, what is the problem here? Because most of the things that God does are purified and tested even when they grow big. And we need to have that purified. So let's take our Bible, a New Testament reading and an Old Testament. We go to the Old Testament first. We go to Proverbs chapter 30, Proverbs chapter 30, and then we'll take you over into Corinthians in the New Testament. So I hope that we're whole Bible people, Old and New Testament, amen? We're not just one part of the Bible, but the whole Bible, the whole counsel of God. So Proverbs chapter 30, and we start at verse 24 and just read four verses there, and we'll expand on those in a moment. And this is an interesting chapter because there are lots of things that go in fours in this chapter here. And it says, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, and yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. They're kind of like badgers or something like that. We'll come on to that. The locusts have no king, and yet they go forth all of them by bands. The spider takes hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Four little things there from which we can learn lessons, and we can learn a lot from nature. And then we go to 1 Corinthians, and we go to chapter 1, verse 26. And when I read these verses, I praise God because I feel I qualify for the script. Amen. I pray that you will as well. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Notice it doesn't say not any, but it says not many. And you won't find too many important people who actually walk with the Lord and have a testimony. But thank God there are some, even in our own parliament. But they are few in number. And then it says, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen, yes, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Can you say I qualify? I qualify in that group of people because we're just ordinary people. Okay, so I want to share this morning on the power of little things, the power of little things. But let's just go back to Proverbs for a moment, book of Proverbs, and there's four creatures there. Now, we've just had ants let loose in our kitchen a little while back. Have you ever had that? Ants. Someone said once the best version of the Bible to read is the Amplified New Testament, because it says go to the ANT and consider her ways. But that's just my humour. But anyway, ants here, little things. And when you see ants, the wonderful wisdom of their preparation, they are wise and they reason winter is coming. They are willing and set about preparing their food, and they work diligently in everything that they do. They are an amazing group of creatures. It's interesting to watch them, because we can learn from ants. And it says, go to the ant, you sluggard, in one place and consider her ways. Little thing, not a big thing. And then he speaks here about conies. They are feeble, so they need a strong place of shelter. And they are hunted, so they need a place of refuge. And it says here that the conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. So it doesn't matter how big here we are, it's probably most of us feel pretty small. And then it speaks about the locusts. The locusts have no king. And I was told once of someone who saw a billiard table stripped of all the green on it, all the bays, because locusts came and stripped the lot. Isn't that incredible? And yet they're only little creatures. They apparently have no king, and yet they go forth, all of them, by bands. And interestingly, we have a king, and yet when you look through the church often, you wonder if we do go forth in bands, because so often there's division in the church, the locusts. And then another small one, the spider. Who likes spiders? The spider takes hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. So spider, the triumph of preservation here, the locust, the secret of power, the conies, the badgers, the necessity for precaution, and the ants, the wisdom of preparation, and yet they're only little creatures. And it says here, the spider, and it's noted for its great flexibility. And if we're going to be like a spider, we've got to be flexible people. And they are curious creatures in the matter of building their houses and taking their prey. But you notice how amazing they are, that it says here about the spider. It takes hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. And there's a little picture there, because we may be small and insignificant, but by faith we take hold of the web and we can be in the king's palace. Hallelujah. So little things and their lessons. So I want to take you through some little things this morning. Four little things here. And I want to point out to you some little things. So if you don't feel very important, you are very important in the plan and economy of God. Amen. For in Christ Jesus, he's made unto us wisdom, sanctification, righteousness, and all those things. We are in him. And it's not what we are, but it's what we are in him. And so there are lots of little things which are wonderful. Job 38 verse 22 speaks a very interesting thing there. It speaks about the treasures of the snow. The treasures of the snow. And I think it's wonderful. In Job 38, 22, have you entered into the treasures of the snow? If ever you have examined a snowflake, we often complain when snow comes. But every little snowflake, if you were to put it under a microscope, has got amazing and intimate detail about it. Just one little snowflake. Think of how every flake is ordered by God and has got divine order in it. And years ago, we watched a film when we were teenagers called Treasures of the Snow. It's a wonderful, a fact and faith film. And every little thing that God creates has got a wonderful design about it. Everything we do, leaves, petals, snowflakes, you look at it, and how anyone could think that it was evolved is beyond my imagination, let alone 24 million years old. I find that astonishing that people can speak such folly, but we believe God created it all. And you and I have got design as well, and even our body has got wonderful design. And so we might feel small and insignificant, but every part of our body is important in design. So the treasures of the snow. And then Jesus said in another place in Luke 12:32, a very interesting little scripture, which is a blessing to every church, really. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. Little flock. Now you might say, well, we're not a big flock. If you take the whole of the church worldwide, it's probably a lot of people. But on the other hand, if you take all of the people who've lived and died in history, actually the church is not huge at all. Because Jesus said that broad is the way that leads to destruction, narrow is the gate that leads there. Many are on that way, and the way to life, few there be that find it, pro rata. When you think of the millions of people who've died, probably we're would be in a big minority. But fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. And so no matter how big we are, we're not a huge church, we're not a mega church where I come from, it is God's will to give us the kingdom and to give us spiritual blessings and to take us up and use us. But there are many little things that were used in the Word of God. I think, for example, of a stone in a sling, which was used to slay a giant. You ever thought about that? A tiny little stone in a sling. And David picked up a sling and he came up against great Goliath and he picked out 5 stones out of the brook. And he shot one of them at Goliath and it never entered Goliath's head what was about to happen. And he shot it and brought big Goliath down. Now you might say, why did he have 5 stones? Because Goliath had 4 brothers, there were 5 of them. And I guess that the plan of God was to get rid of these great giants that were there. And so just a tiny stone in a sling. And then actually, if you want to know, we've got 5 stones, did you know that? Because in Mark chapter 16, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and these signs shall what? Follow them that believe. If you count them, there are 5 signs there. Cast out demons, speak with new tongues, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, etc. We have 5 stones which we can use to slay Goliath, the Goliath of this world. And then I think of Moses, and all he was given was a tiny little rod. So I want to encourage you this morning. You may feel I haven't got much to give, but in the Lord, you've got everything to give because God uses little things to bless people. And God gave Moses a rod, and that rod expressed the authority of the living God, expressed the authority. And God had to deal with Moses over this rod and speak to him about this rod. Moses wasn't very keen to be used of God. He said, I'm not eloquent, I can't speak well. And the Lord said to him, now therefore go, and I'll be with your mouth, and I'll teach you what you shall say. Exodus 4:12, I believe it is. And God had to deal with him over the rod. And he threw the rod down and it became a serpent, and then he picked it up and it became a rod again. And God showed him that just in that little rod there was something very, very powerful in the book of Exodus chapter 4, verses 2 to 4. And so God gave him something very little. And in the end, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, that rod was used in God's authority, not only to bring a judgment upon the Egyptians, which is a picture of the world and Pharaoh, a picture of Satan, but he used that rod and he put that rod over the Red Sea and they marched across and were saved. Isn't that wonderful? Just a simple little rod. And the Lord said to him at the beginning, what is that in your hand? What is that in your hand? It was only a rod, but God used that rod in a wonderful way. And the Lord says to us, what is that in your hand? You might not feel it's very much. It might be something very little. It might just be an ability to serve God in the Sunday school. It might be a neighbor who wants to have a tract. Just to give out a little tract can be a rod in your hand. I think of that man in Sydney, New South Wales. Do you remember that man? I can't think of his name. And all he did was stood in a street there in Sydney, and he gave out tracts, and he said, where would you go if you were to die in the next half hour, was it? Something like that. And he never saw, apparently, anyone saved. Later, a number of ministers met together, were sharing their testimonies, and one of them said, he said, I was saved because a man in Sydney gave me a tract till I came under conviction, and I didn't realize I needed to be saved. And another man said, well, isn't that strange? He said, I was too saved because a man in Sydney gave me a tract. What is that in your hand? Just a little thing. Or an act of kindness to a neighbor. Or someone in need, and they just need a prayer from somebody which will encourage them and help them. And God uses little things to bless people with. And in fact, Jesus said in one place, if you only give a cup of water in my name, you shall in no wise lose your reward. So isn't that wonderful? Just a little loving action can speak to somebody, can help somebody. Amen. So there are many little things. And if you go through the parables of Jesus, there are two wonderful parables he speaks about. The parable of the talents, which are gifts that he gave them. And the parable of the pounds, which is authority or privilege. And Jesus, when he came to test what was going on, he said, he that is faithful in little, I'll give authority in much. So we have to prove ourselves in the little things, just a little thing. And it can just be a little thing that God is looking for. We have a man who's just died in the Reading area called Tom Hamblin. And Tom was used, he took Bibles fearlessly into Islamic countries. He died just a little while back. And he's got a Thanksgiving service coming up. And every little thing he used to be faithful to the Lord. And so one day he was in the army, and the commandant said, Tom Hamblin, your job is to clean out the latrines today. What a wonderful job that is. But I'll tell you one thing, that if I find someone in a church who's willing to clean out the toilets, then I know that God will promote them. Amen. And I would never ask someone to do something. We used to clean out the toilets in the church that we were in. Anyway, the commandant came and he found the latrines cleaned in a way that they'd never been cleaned before. And he said, Private Hamblin, what's happening here? And Private Hamblin said to the commandant, he said, I did it for Jesus, sir. I did it for Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? And it had a huge effect upon what was going on there. So there are a lot of little things, and Jesus said, if you're faithful in a few things, I'll give you many things, I'll set you over. And I believe personally, when Jesus comes back to reign in the millennium, when he reigns in Jerusalem, and there's a 1,000-year reign, I believe that faithful Christians will be given authority, literally over cities and over things from heaven. That's a wonderful thing. But what we do now determines what happens then in the future. Now, just a few little things that God uses. I want to encourage you. If you go to 2 Kings chapter 5, there's a very wonderful story there about a man called Naaman. And Naaman was a very powerful man, and he got leprosy. He was captain of the host of the king of Syria, and he was embarrassed because leprosy came. And something happened here. He was served by a little maid as she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "When this letter is come, I have therefore sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may recover him of the leprosy." And so you may know the story, how Naaman was asked to go down into a dirty old river. He did not like it, but he obeyed in the end, dipped himself 7 times. But have you ever noticed who it was who was used of God to get him to go to the prophet to get a word from God? It was a little maid. Isn't that lovely? A little maid. And so this little maid was used to care for a great man, and she was used to bring him to faith in the one true God. You may feel little or insignificant, but you can be used. Now, I often think of Spurgeon, the great preacher. Do you remember Spurgeon, C.H. Spurgeon? One of the greatest preachers. They estimated in the Metropolitan Tabernacle at the height that several thousand people attended his services there. Spurgeon was converted in a little country chapel near Colchester in Essex, and the preacher thought he was useless and didn't know how to really, he wasn't very articulate, he wasn't very, whatever word you'd use for a preacher. All he said was he preached on the serpent on the pole. He didn't think it was a good message. He said, "Just look, the serpent on the pole, just look unto the serpent." And Spurgeon did that night. The preacher thought he'd failed terribly. But he was the only person who got saved, and he went on to be one of Britain's greatest ever preachers. Just a little servant preaching a faithful message. That's all it takes. Okay. And then in 1 Kings 18, there's another story of a little thing there, just something little and something small. Now, I want to encourage you, if you do a little thing or you feel you're a little person, you might not feel that you're particularly great. I don't. But the Word of God says those are the people God uses, reason, so that no flesh should glory in his presence. And God will not give his glory unto another. That's why it pays to be humble and to go the way of the cross and to realize that we are just instruments in his hand. I'm just a mailman. I post the letters. I don't tell people to read them. They open them and read them. But we're just a mailmen, messengers, men and women for the Lord. And so in 1 Kings chapter 18, we have the story of Elijah. And he sent his servant out because rain had been promised. And it says in verse 44, he told him to go again 7 times. And at the 7th time, he said, "Behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand." Just a little cloud. And so it came, first of all, as a little cloud. And the little cloud was used to bring a great, great shower of blessing and God's word fulfilled upon the land. And I think back of the history of this nation here. And I think back into the 1950s, and I think back that the last great major sovereign revival of God was in Scottish islands called the Hebrides. You've probably heard of them. And the Hebridean revival took place because two little ladies covenanted with God to pray, and they were not going to stop praying until God blessed and broke through. I think that one of them was blind, possibly both of them. And they prayed. And as they prayed, the Lord said, "Go and invite Duncan Campbell to come to these islands to preach." Duncan Campbell was in Belfast, I believe, in Northern Ireland, and he was in the middle of some big meetings there. And he said, well, I can't come at the moment because I'm in the middle of meetings. They said, Mr. Campbell, you are not living close enough to the Lord to hear what he's saying. And so he dropped everything and went. And Hebridean revival was an amazing revival. And it started because they were having a prayer meeting and someone read out from Psalms, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy presence? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. And a young man stood up, he said, oh God, he said, I haven't got a pure heart. And they confessed their sins, and the power of God came down. It shook the sideboard, rattled everything within the room, and sovereignly the Spirit of God dropped on the whole of that island. Isn't that amazing? And it was astonishing. It was like the whole air was permeated with the presence of God. And a lot of people don't realise this, but a lot of the fishermen who were affected in those islands came down to East Anglia, and there was a book written called The Forgotten Revival, which took place, I think, around Lowestoft or somewhere around there, and God did a sovereign work. You can get that book, I think, from day one. So a little cloud to bring a tremendous shower. Thirdly, let's go to 1 Kings 17, and we find there the prophet Elijah, and Elijah was told by the Lord to go to Zarephath, and a widow woman would sustain him there. Now, I don't know, I don't know whether there's any widow women here or people who feel elderly or cut off, but you can still be used however old or young you are. Amen. And in fact, two of the greatest people who were used in Luke's gospel was a widow who came in when Jesus was being dedicated, and a man who God revealed by the Holy Spirit that he should go into the temple and that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. They're recorded in Luke. So it doesn't matter how old or young we are. And in fact, the older you are, you can have a prayer ministry and you can affect and direct what's going on without people even knowing if you're in the Spirit. I think that's wonderful. And so the people who really direct the church are actually the intercessors who pray in the closet and in the secret place. And so he came to Zarephath, and he came to the gates of the city. There was a widow woman gathering sticks, and he called her and said, fetch me, I pray you, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray you, a morsel of bread, just a tiny bit of bread. And she said, as the Lord your God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, don't be afraid. Go and do as you have said. But make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for you and for your son. And then he said, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she did as the servant of God had told her to do, and it was exactly fulfilled. Isn't that wonderful? You may not feel you have very much. You may feel God might tell you to give something, but you give it, and like the widow there, a little oil will last all the way through, and your needs will be met. How are we doing? Just one or two others. Okay, so in Matthew 15, there's the two stories in the Gospels. Jesus fed 4,000 on one occasion, and 5,000 on another. Two separate incidents. And they didn't know how to feed the people. And so they looked around, and there was a young lad, and he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Not very much. And Jesus took that. He looked up to heaven, and it says that he broke it. Thank you so much. May you get your reward. Thank you. So you notice that whatever God takes to use, he breaks it, and then he blessed it and broke it, and then he gave, and it was expanded wonderfully. So there's, even from those stories, there's wonderful blessing in little things. You might feel you've only got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Give them to the Lord, and he'll break them and multiply them. And when they got to the end, there were 12 baskets full left over. Isn't that wonderful? If you what you give to God will be blessed. It may be broken. Sometimes we have to go through brokenness, but then it's multiplied many times over in the hand of God. And I don't know how he does it, but he does it. Amen. Just giving him a little thing. A little child, an object lesson in humility. Except you become as a little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus was always preaching about humility. And I feel the key to a lot of things is humility. There's so much pride and arrogance in the modern church today. Big names, big churches, big this, big that. I'd rather have the small things and see God grow them. Amen. A little flock to possess the kingdom. And then in 1 John chapter 4, it speaks about the little children there. I'll leave you to read that. There are fathers, sons, and little children. And there's some wonderful things. Now, just let me finish, if I may, with some little things that aren't a blessing but cause a problem. Because I think that a lot of people don't realize that the little things can not only be a blessing, but the wrong little things can actually be a huge, huge hindrance. Have you noticed that? You only need one person within the church to be out of line. It could be a Judas, and he can cause chaos. So let me just give you one or two verses of little things causing big problems, if I may, just to finish. So Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 1. And some of these are very natural, and I think God speaks through nature and natural things. We can hear his voice. So Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 1 says this: as dead flies cause the ointment to stink, so doth a little folly with him that is in reputation for wisdom and honour. Can you say amen to that? We're seeing things in the church today. I don't want to be specific, but little things that happened in Soul Survivor, look what is coming out now. In the open, I think it's terribly sad. But if those little things had been dealt with many years ago, it would never cause a problem. And it brings disrepute, and the media love it because they love belittling the church of Jesus Christ. Or some moral issue was never dealt with by a bishop, and then they come along later and the bishop has to stand down because he didn't deal with issues. So a little folly. As dead flies cause the ointment to stink. And in our kitchen, Mary had to get rid of some cake, was it, Mary? Because all these little, I don't know what they were, little creatures had got into the old system, and she had to get rid of them because they mucked up all the cakes. And I love cakes, so I was very upset. Okay. Proverbs chapter 6. I'll just give you these quickly, and I'll leave you to meditate upon them. Proverbs chapter 6. So Proverbs chapter 6 says this, verse 10 and 11. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall your poverty come as one that travels and your want as an armed man. So we have to make sure that we're not asleep spiritually, because just a little sleep can cause a lot of problems. And do you remember the wise and the foolish virgins? Well, the foolish ones, what happened? They ran out of oil. Weren't they asleep? But we need to make sure that we are not asleep, because just a little sleep and a little bit of laziness can ruin so many things. And then James chapter 3 and verse 5. And here's the main one that's the problem. James chapter 3 and verse 5. And it says here about James, very a lot of wisdom here. James says that the tongue is the smallest member, and yet it causes the biggest problem. Would you agree with that? Just a simple word can bring so much upset. The tongue is a little member and boasts great things, but how great a matter a little fire kindles. And it can be set on fire, and it defiles the whole body, and it sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Someone said once that when God created us, isn't it good when we look around the upper part of our body, we have two ears, two eyes, two nostrils. Thank God we got two lips, but thank God we've only got one of the thing that's inside called the tongue. One is enough. It can cause problems. And someone said once that the tongue, being in a wet place, slippeth. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. And so let's ask the Lord to control our tongues, because the tongue, just a little word, can cause such a problem. Just something out of place. You see this, of course, enacted in Parliament every day, because people don't know how to use their tongues. And it seems to me that the main objective of many politicians is to bring somebody else down, not to represent us in what they do there. Even if someone has made a slip, let's have them out, let's make them guilty, let's bring them down. But the one who casts the first stone, be very careful, because God has a way of catching it up. So the tongue. And let's make sure that we are not, you know, and every church, you know, has people with telephone ministry. Do you know what telephone ministry is? They pick up the phone and they say, have you heard about so-and-so within the church? Have you heard what the pastor said last week? Have you heard? And they have a telephone ministry, and it goes all the way round. And before you know, and it's called manipulation, actually, because it's not the way to deal with it. And if someone says something to you that's upset you, don't go and tell everyone else. Go and to the person concerned and sort it out. Saves an awful lot of problems. So the tongue is a very small thing which has a big problem. And maybe sometime, if you ask me back, I'll share with you some of the problems that we have with the tongue, because it's a very important thing of speech. Okay, just two more. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 5 and 6. And then we can come to a conclusion. Paul says, don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Okay, so only needs a little bit of leaven. And you know, in the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they had to make sure that there was no leaven there. And there's lots of things that are leaven in God's word. Sin is leaven. You can go through them all. The leaven of the scribes and Pharisees Jesus spoke about. But just a little sin. And a lot of people don't realize that a church can be blessed, but if just one person in that church is living in unconfessed sin, then it can leaven the whole lump within that body. Amen. And so we have to keep short accounts with the Lord. And then Song of Solomon 2:15, and I'll make this the last one we look at. I'll leave you to maybe look through God's word and see some of the things that are little that can be a blessing. But I want to encourage you today that whoever you are, whatever you've got, what is that in your hand, use it for the Lord's glory. So Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Song of Solomon is a wonderful book. It's a picture of Jesus and his church. It's a picture of a bride and bridegroom. It's interesting to see which bits refer to whom. And Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. There's a very interesting little verse there. And in verse 15, it says this: take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. So little foxes that spoil the vine. Little foxes that spoil the vine. Isn't that interesting? We have to be careful that little foxes don't spoil the vine. And the vine, to me, speaks of really of, it's a picture of Israel, and also a picture of their relationship with God. So little things, little resentments, a root of bitterness which can be hidden there and can defile many people. A little bitterness, little lapses, little failures, little reactions to people. Some people come to me and say, I just can't get on with that person in the church. Have you ever heard that? Well, I believe God put that person in the church to teach you something. Amen. Because I call them anointed tribulators. I may have shared this before. And tribulation worketh patience. And so somebody prayed for patience, and they came to the man who gave them advice. He said, the more I pray for patience, the more I get trouble. He said, well, tribulation works patience. And someone said once that real spiritual strength is the ability to put up with other people's weaknesses. Amen. And if you don't believe that, get married. And you'll find out, because you can't hide it from your spouse. Amen. So little things that can cause problems. So just little things. 12 disciples, God added a naught, they became 120, and they turned the world upside down. In 1903, one man with 17 followers began his attack in the world. His name was Lenin. 15 years later, the 17 had multiplied themselves into 400,000 disciples. And at its height, communism controlled influence over half the population of the world and a third of the earth's surface. You don't tell me that little things don't have a huge, huge effect. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. You may feel little and insignificant, and some things are. God's got a purpose for everything he created. I am not sure what the purpose is for fleas. I haven't discovered that as yet. But a flea is the tiniest creature you got, and it can cause the biggest problem. Or a mosquito if you go to India or Africa. So may you be blessed and know that God can use little things. You might not feel you're a big fellowship, but if everyone does what God tells them to do and takes up all the little things he's given to you, I believe Elim Church Aldershot can be a great, great blessing to everybody round about. And you'll be blessed as well. And he'll say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. So God bless you. Just bless this church, oh God. Bless everyone who comes here. Lord, may they influence the community round about. Bring people into this place, Lord, children, teenagers, older people, Lord, couples, whatever it might be. And may this church be blessed of you, Lord, as every member takes up the little things that you've given to them. May it be a blessing, and may they see fruit that remains. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. That comes up.